So we want to get our Bibles, if we could, please. Keep standing. Standing with Bibles open. And this morning, we're in a different spot. So, you know, we've been going through Revelation. We'll be in chapter 9 next week. But this morning, I wanted to bring forth from the Word of God what is called the blessing, and He is for you. And it actually comes from Numbers chapter 6. You know, there's something in the Bible for everybody. For some people, they think the book of Numbers is because they're an accountant. It's not. It's just the book of Numbers. That's where you go. If you're looking for a career, there's the book of Job. If you're looking for, you know, it's something for everybody. I mean, if you're a baseball player, it's the season. Genesis in the big inning. I mean, so there's something for everybody. But we're in Numbers chapter 6. And it's called the blessing. And really, there's six things that we're going to look at from this short section of Scripture. And it has to do with the blessing that God has for us today, this blessing. What happened in those days is that the priest would come and would impart a blessing. You've heard the word benediction. Benediction is a word used to pronounce a blessing, a short prayer at the end of a gathering. And so this really is a benediction of a message. It'll be a good one for us. And it says in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Father, we do look to You today, and You do want to bless us today. I know that to be true, because it's already been a blessing. Your mercies have been with us, God, since we woke up today, and you've been for us, and You've helped us even in some battles. Even earlier this morning, You've helped us gain victory and receive strength and encouragement. We thank You for that. God, it already has been a blessing to come together and to worship You, to do what many of the faith cannot do at this time because of where they live and the situations they're in. But thank You for the blessing of being together, the blessing of worshiping, the blessing of prayer, and the blessing of having Your holy word, knowing that Your Holy Spirit is speaking to us. We thank You for the many ways that You bless us. But I would pray today that perhaps sometimes our hearts aren't in a place to openly receive that blessing from You. Father, we would pray that by Your Holy Spirit, we would receive the biblical blessing You have for us today. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we look to try to understand God and understand how this Bible, this book, this blessing was put together, God truly wants to bless us. But to know for certainty that from the beginning, we as a people of God have become a wandering people. We wandered away from God. We wander away from the truth. We wander away from His purposes for our life. And in many ways, man was trying to reach out to God. And in a sense, there was a way that God provided for us to approach Him. And He had priests. And the priest in the Old Testament would go to God on behalf of the people of God and would bring God to the people. That's what a priest would do. He was the intermediary between God and man. That was the place He played, the role He played, that priest. And the priest would go into the temple. And in the temple, there would be that place where the high priest would be. This literally, this is how it worked. And then he would make a sacrifice, an offering, to try to provide an atonement for the sins of the people. That's how the system was set up. But all of that was reflecting something that we are to understand and appreciate today. Because when Christ died on the cross, many things happened that day. Many things happened around the, besides earthquakes, besides graves opening up, besides the seven statements from Christ on the cross, it is finished. But something else happened that day. There in the temple was the curtain, and no one can go behind that curtain. It was very thick. But God tore that curtain between the top to the bottom significantly and said, there's now no longer any other man to go between people and God. He says, from now on, you don't need a human priest, a human high priest. Jesus proclaimed himself as the great high priest. There is no curtain. That curtain is torn in two. Now what happens, unfortunately, because of our human carnal nature, we try to sew that curtain back up and to try to create a religious system that requires men and people to go to God on our behalf. That's wrong. We go directly to God. We call out to God. We go to our high priest today. There is no longer any curtain. And sometimes that's hard for us to understand. It was hard for me to understand. I came from a very strong religious background, and the traditions, unbiblical traditions of the religion, was just ingrained within me. And I thought, how could God ever want to bless me? I mean, because I related to God based upon my performance, based upon my religious duties, based upon my religious commitments that I made. And when I failed or fell short in those commitments, then I felt that I was on his bad list. And God's, you know, he's certainly opposed to me. It's going to take time for me to make up the distance I've lost because of my selfishness and sinfulness. And I had no idea who he really is. And today he wants to reveal who he is to us from his word. He wants us to know his love and grace, and he wants us to receive his blessing. He gives his blessing. We just need to receive it. And I understand, because through over 40 some years of ministry, there have been many different unbiblical things that have woven itself in and out of church fellowships, and a word faith could be one of them, where, you know, they just promote this prosperity doctrine, which is unbiblical. But that is not to take away from the fact that God chooses to bless us. And don't forfeit that blessing, and don't call out to God for his blessing. That is from him, and we need to understand that. It was the prodigal son who we referred to at different times in our messages. But it wasn't until he came to his senses. He came to his senses because he realized who his father was. And when he began to realize how gracious his father was, how his father blesses, how his father is always there for him despite his waywardness, how the father allowed him to choose his free will and to go his way, but the father never wrote him off at all. The father would be there. And God the Father, that's the father we serve today. Now, it's important for us to be able to take time, because many have misrepresented the heart of God. And so as a pastor, that would grieve me greatly if I have ever misrepresented the heart of God to the people of God. If I have, I ask your forgiveness for that. It would never be my intention. Moses misrepresented the heart of God to the people, so it's not uncommon. It happens. Moses became very angry at the people. He called them rebels. And God says, no, just speak to the rock and I will provide for you. And Moses just struck the rock out of anger. He misrepresented God. God wants to bless you today. He wants to bless you every day. He wants to pour out his blessing upon our lives. And why would I think that this would be an important message for today, because we're wandering people and we are pilgrims in this world. And we're living at a time right now where we see, Lord, we, your followers, your believers, your church, we need this word today to saturate our hearts and our minds on who you are, how you want to take care of us. Why? Because we face the same problem as all people within the world. There's the threats of violence, war, crime, financial challenges, losing jobs or careers. There's health concerns, relationship breakdowns, marriage problems, parenting problems, the death of loved ones. But what makes it even different for us? We face challenges that non-believers do not face. We face spiritual challenges. And you know, and I know, you have faced them more severely in these last few years than ever before. Temptations to do things that do not honor God. Spiritual warfare. The world is working against us, but God is for us. God is for us. Before we leave today, we're going to be singing the fact, this blessing, and God is for us. And we live in the strangest time, and I believe personally that intentionally people, leaders, have caused what is troubling to people. In my opinion, they've caused a fuel shortage. It's intentional, a food shortage. I believe it's intentional. I believe a baby food shortage is also intentional, creating means for a pandemic to accelerate in order to generate new world order agenda. I believe it's intentional. I believe it's, and the reason I say that is I've read this book. And in reading the book, I do not live in fear. I do not live in intimidation of what's coming. I live with the truth. But as a fellowship of believers, we don't ignore, we don't set it aside. There's a big elephant in our world. I mean, it's just like, what is going on? And these things are very real. Intentionally, they have eliminated law enforcement. They've created that shortage. Intentionally, they've created people to be dependent upon the government. We need to be dependent upon Jesus for everything. But all of this is intentionally happening according to what I think is taking place. I believe that as we're going through Revelations, we see the drivenness to a one world order, one world government, a one world monetary system. We see the dynamics happening to make that take place. But what we need, we're different. We need supernatural strength from the Holy Spirit. We need heavenly wisdom. We need encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we look at verse 24, 25, and 26, we see six things that the Lord wants to assure us of this morning before we leave here. Six things. He blesses us. He keeps us. His face shines upon us. He's gracious to us. He lifts up our countenance and he gives us peace. He is the Lord bless you and keep you. It says he is a blessing God. He's unlike any other false deity, small g God. He is a blessing God. We can have biblical confidence in his leadership in our life. He will meet the needs in your life. He will. And he'll do it his way and his timing. He wants us to walk in the path of his blessing. When you see the Lord bless, in studying that, that word bless, it could even have that defining terminology of being stooping down or a bended knee. And notice it says, the Lord bless you. The word you is singular. He's saying you. In the King James Version, it would be thee. And sometimes that even punctuates what we're saying. The Lord bless thee. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. It's purposefully given to each individual. When I see this, when it says the Lord bless you, I'm not thinking of our congregation. I'm thinking of it in a personal way. And so should you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Men, women, husbands and wives, Would it not be a new way to greet one another in the morning when you get up? Say, the Lord bless you. So the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. It's right here in the Word of God. And when Jesus was communicating this to us, his word, in Psalm 37, verse 25, it says, I have been young and now I'm old. I've looked at my pictures, I understand. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. The Lord is always taking care of us through this journey of life. He has always taken care of us. It's an important thing when we're looking at this. He is a blessing God. But what can we waste our time on? Perhaps the greatest waste of time we would chalk up at the end of our life is the time you and I wasted on worrying to worry. It's a waste of time. It didn't cause anything other than greater frustration. His no means he has something better for us. He is a blessing God. He is taking care of us. He will be a servant to be a blessing to us. What do you mean? He's a blessing God. Blessing means willing to bend the knee. In John 17, Jesus in his earthly ministry, prior to going to the cross, he came in the monks in the room of his friends, and he is the one that took the towel around his waist. He is the one that knelt down. He is the one that washed their feet. He is the one that says, what I'm doing, you do. He is the one that says, this is a blessing to you. Our God, who's a blessing God, is on bended knee serving us, showing us how much he's willing to do for us to receive his blessing. He washed their feet. If you know these things, he says, blessed are you if you do them. The Apostle Paul understood this blessing. He would say in Romans 8, 31 and 32, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, he's a blessing God. Before we leave here today, we are going to say, he is for us. He is for us. He is for us. I'm bringing forth the word of God today. It is a blessing. It's a blessing we need to hear today. But we need to do more than hear. We need to say, God, I need to accept it. I need to receive it. I wouldn't believe this. I wouldn't believe that what I'm proclaiming today if it wasn't in the Word of God. It is in the Word of God. You do love me. You do care for me. You are a blessing, God. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He is a blessing God. When we got married, we were brand new believers in the Lord. I like to correct that. My wife was so far ahead of me. She got saved 6 months before I met her. So in my mind, she was like a stellar believer in the Lord. She knew so much more. I mean, she knew where John 3:16 was, and I didn't. And we began to pray together, trust God together. And I had already had a degree in business, but I moved to Colorado, working construction and just serving myself with worldly pleasures and passion until convicted of the Holy Spirit, until salvation came upon me. We got married 4 months later. I never recommend that. I mean, take time, meet with your pastor. We did meet with our pastor, by the way. We did go through premarital counseling, but I didn't have a clue. And I'm starting to get just a little bit more of an understanding. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, growing all the time. But when we're looking here at this blessing, I remember saying to my wife, I want to head out towards a career. I want to get a career. And it was very difficult in 78, 79. It reflects a lot of presidential leadership back then, as we have right now. And interest rates were probably 10% or more at that time, and jobs were scarce at that time. And so I was working with a recruitment person where the company pays all the fees, and went in to have this interview with this employer in sales, which is the direction I was headed. And I had practiced. I practiced on a little tape recorder. There was a book, and it was a little paperback book, and it was like the 100 most popular questions they ask. And I would look at them, and in my mind, I'd answer them. But then I said, I should record that. I had a little tape recorder with a cassette tape. My grandson years ago found a cassette tape, and he put it up to his eyes. He goes, are these special binoculars? That's how far we've come, friends. When we started the ministry, we had about 3,500 cassette Bible teaching tapes from various ministries. And now all you do is just go, hey, don't say the word. Find me the sermon. It's like, oh, wow. I mean, it's just where we've come. But I recorded my answers. And when I would hear myself, I cringed. I think, that's awful. I'm glad I'm recording it. But I went through the book and I did as many as I could. And then in the interview, it's like they had read that book. And it was like they were just serving up the questions. And prior to that, I had met with a dear friend who was an excellent salesperson. I says, give me some help. You know, he goes, well, one of the features back then is the word FAB, F-A-B, features, advantages, and benefits. When you're selling, think about that. And he developed that for me. So back to the interview, I had to pause not to answer the questions so quickly. Even prior to that interview near Stapleton Airport Hotel in Denver, I went up to the floor I was going to be interviewing on, but needed to find a bathroom down there. Not to use the bathroom. I just needed a quiet place. And I just looked in the mirror and said, God, I'm done if you're not here with me. I need your help. God, would you bless this interview? Would you bless us? I'm trying to start a new career as a newly married husband. Lord, I need your help. And God blessed. And God blessed that interview. And then the sales manager gave me a product, and he goes, how would you sell this? And I just remembered features had advantages and benefits. And it was just so great. So early in my first few months of being a believer and being married, I began to realize God wants to bless. And he doesn't bless based on my history, my past performance, what I did or didn't do. Did I read today? Did I pray? He chooses to bless us. He's our Lord. I'm speaking to believers. And then not only that, it says, and keep us. In other words, protect us. How many times you can think, even after today, how many times were you and I in a situation and it's just like, how did God was here. I mean, God help me. It could have been a car accident. It could have been a high-end situation that you realize circumstances would have been entirely different. Someone intervened. Somebody was there. Somebody helped me. It was God, because he says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to protect you. That's right from the word of God. We sing the song, and we will in the end, and we will sing God is for us. But are we willing to take this and to believe this and to allow it to minister to us today? Psalm 121, he who keeps you from stumbling, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Sometimes people think of God as like, well, I'll get to you later on. I'm really busy. Or, to take a little rest in heaven for a while. Come back, hold it. He's not like that. He's ever attentive. Again, Psalm 121, he shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. When we see God in person, we sang the song, we will see him in person. Lord, you have blessed me. Lord, you have kept me. I'm only in heaven because you reserved a place for me and you've kept me. Jesus in his earthly prayer in John 17, it tells us, I have kept them in your name. Those who you have given to me, I have kept them. He is a blessing God. He is a keeping God. This is the God. We're proclaiming who he is today. Jesus would say in Matthew 7:11, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We have not because we've asked not. So perhaps we start out differently tomorrow. You are a blessing God. God, I ask for your blessing. Psalm 84:10-12, for the Lord is God. He is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. You're here today because that's your desire, my desire. I want to walk in the ways of the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks in those ways. Psalm number 1. Jude, also a benediction at the end of Jude 24 and 25, the verses. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's the word of God. He's a blessing God. He's a keeping God. When we enter into the glory of God, we are going to say, you are the blessing God. You are my God. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my keeping God. You've kept me. And notice what it says again, just to strengthen that. Keeps you from stumbling and presents you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know as well as I, we are not faultless. But in the eyes of Jesus, because of his righteousness, we are faultless to enter into heaven. Why? Because we serve a blessing God, and because we serve a God that not only blesses, but keeps us. Let's keep going. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Again, when you see the word you, it's singular. It's take it personally and be gracious to you. The image in Hebrew, as I was studying, of this, his face to shine upon you, is a smiling face, shining with the pleasure at the very sight of us. It gives him no greater joy, John would say, than to know that my children are walking in the truth. If it gives John the Apostle no greater joy than to know that we're walking in the truth, what does it do to our Lord and Savior? Does not the expression of joy be upon the face of our Lord? A lot of Renaissance art and other things have depicted God in some sort of bad mood deity. And churches have promoted a sense of the more you're scowling, the more spiritual you are. Nothing could be further from the truth. God is the lifter of our heads. The Lord make his face shine upon you. He is different from all other deities. And in my own soul, how blessed I feel if I know he's pleased with me. Don't make it your aim to try to please all the people in the world. Even in your own family, I think first and foremost, make it your aim, make it my aim to be pleasing to God. Because if I am pleasing to God, I will be pleasing to my wife and to my family and to my friends and to my fellowship. Paul would say, make it your aim to be pleasing to God. That will not disappoint him. His face will shine upon you. James 1:7, It says every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. His face is shining upon you. Jesus called himself the light of the world. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You have seen people, I have seen people, you've been around people, and there is a godly countenance that they have. They're not making it up. It's not make-believe. It's not just putting on some sort of superficial spiritual face. It's the fact that they're experiencing the blessing of God. They're experiencing the keeping hand of God. And because of that, there's a reflection of the Lord with them. And it says, not only does his make face shine upon you, it says, and be gracious to you. When I think of this, I think of the gracious, forgiving, pardoning God that we serve. And a few years back, a number of years back, I was in Hawaii and did something on the beach. And we have a video. We're going to just show it, run it through by maybe two or three times because it's very, very short, a matter of seconds. But it was the idea of what takes place. And so I can look at that for a long time because what that means. So the first time when you see it, you get the feel of it. The second time, okay, that's good. But the third time, it starts to soak in, realizing all my sins by the graciousness of our God, and be gracious by his graciousness, they're gone. There's no evidence of them. They're absolutely washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Into, you know, it took a little while to make that work. And hey, wave, stop for a few minutes. Let me write my sins. But to think about all my sins have been covered by the blood of Christ. That's the graciousness of God. By grace we have been saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And I think of even the song that we sing, your grace is enough. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing, and we sing, your grace is enough. I mean, there is nothing else we need. We have the grace of God. I tell you, I wish I never sinned. I wish I never failed, but I do. And what I need to understand and be reminded of, and that's why these three verses are power-packed verses, six things about our God that can change the direction of our life when we understand who our God is and be gracious to you. I need to be reminded of the greatness of his grace. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You say, well, you don't understand. You don't understand how dark and how ugly and how miserable my particular sin is. What I have done. You don't understand how dark and wicked it is. And it haunts me to this day. And may I say, according to the word of God, that his grace is more powerful than the most ugly, wickedest sin ever known to mankind. His grace, it's his blood that washes us clean, and his blood is able to wash every sin away. Every sin away. And he saved someone like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, who had literal documentation to kill more Christians. He already had killed many of them. And he wanted to destroy the church. He created havoc for the church. And in a religious way, he was blameless. But before God, he was a great sinner. And he would call himself the chief of all sinners. And God's grace was most powerful for the chief of all sinners. His blood washed away all those sins. And he's willing to do that. And he is doing that even today. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Romans 5:20. And in exploring this a little bit, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. It means to superabound or hyperabound. It is explosive. There is no sin greater than Jesus' sacrifice on the cross can take care of. He's the great forgiver. You wonder, is there hope for me? His grace is greater than all hopelessness. Jesus would say, I did this for you, because it's singular. I did this for you. So I must allow, we must allow this great truth to saturate our minds and our hearts and our will today. We should not be afraid of proclaiming his grace. We're grateful for his grace. We're thankful for his grace. What a blessing that is. To us today, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter would say in 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's there. It's waiting for you. The last one. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This idea of countenance. You have been in situations, and unfortunately with devices, people's attention is drawn away. And it's in the devices. You can be in an open area, maybe waiting for luggage at an airport, and people are around the carousel. I would tell you probably 9 out of 10 have a device out, and they're not talking to one another. It's just the way things are right now. But what would it be like if you came into a room and there was someone in that room that you knew, you loved, you cared for, but they were busy at the moment. They were either reading something or just doing, they were engaged in something. But when they looked up, they saw you, and they set aside everything, and they just went right to you and just said, how are you? How are you doing? This idea of the Lord lifts up his countenance, it's trying to tell us that he has given us his full attention, complete attention. He's unlike any other. That is his constant attitude towards us. He cares for us. He hears us. He is there for us. You have his full attention to know that he knows. He's all the assurance we need. He would say to Jeremiah in 29, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then go call upon me, go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. His full attention, I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The Lord lift up his countenance. Oh, we get to see Jesus. He is a blessing God. He is a keeping God according to the scriptures. His face radiates, shines upon us. And he's been so gracious to us, always giving us what we don't deserve. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the word peace is shalom. It means a prayer for the well-being of another person. God wants the very best for us. That allows us to be at peace with him and others. A saint from the past wrote this. He wrote it in a very strong kind of King James English, but I broke it down into street-level words that I can understand. And it's this. God answers all of my prayers in the same way that I would answer them if I had his wisdom, power, and love. God answers all my prayers in the exact same way that I would answer them if I had his wisdom, his power, and his love. He loves you. He cares for you. And we need to know he's actively concerned. He's for us. Do you believe it? Is it giving you peace today? And so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now it's plural. I will bless them. In the Jewish culture, a name was represented by one's nature. This blessing is who and what he is every day. We must be reminded on a daily basis, this is what God is like. Again from the text, a blessing God, a keeping God, one whose face shines upon us, a gracious God who lifts up his countenance upon us, a God who gives us peace. Will we declare this truth? We're declaring it today. Will you declare this truth to other family members and friends? Why do we need this assurance today? Why? Why do we need this assurance today? Because we're very far from home. This isn't our home. Our home is in heaven with him. And there's a distance right now. And that's why we need this biblical, godly assurance for us. A Christian preacher from the past, 100 years ago, he died 100 years before we started this ministry, almost 100 years to the date. His name is Charles Spurgeon, and he said, regarding these scriptures that we just read, the Lord has blessed his people, and he would have them know it. So 100 years later, I'm proclaiming what this preacher of God proclaimed. The Lord has blessed his people, and he would have them know it. He has blessed them with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it is his wish that they should experience the fullness of this blessedness. Are any of the Lord's people without a sense of this blessing? It is not the will of God that you should continue in this low condition. Amen. Let's stand. And we do have that worship song called "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." We're going to head that direction. Let's pray. Father, we do ask right now, Lord, as we have considered your word today, we thank you, God, for our journey through Revelation, but how we need to get under that fountain of your grace and of your love and of your blessing, the one who lifts our countenance, the one who gives us peace. We're in this world, we're not of this world, but you want us to be refreshed and renewed, that you're in charge, you're in control. And I pray for each person today, God, myself included, we extend in faith our hands and our hearts upward, saying, God, I have limited you. I have, in a sense, forfeited the blessing that you want to provide. I haven't been believing and trusting in you. I've been relying on myself. My faith is in me, but it needs to be in you. Forgive me for that, Lord. Right now, I pray that you would bless your people new and afresh, that you would show each of us today that you're the keeping God. You're watching over, you're providing, you're protecting. Lord, make your face shine upon us like never before. And may our hearts be lifted up in your grace, in your grace, in your immeasurable grace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon each of us. And may we experience right now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.